would know.
Sorry, everyone.
This meeting is being recorded.
Following the chicken protocol? Is that the question?
I believe his question was, will you be helping the people to receive their license to retain chickens, if I'm not mistaken?
I believe these are chickens, Tiffany. I think they've already been slaughtered. So
yeah.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
They are live chickens.
They're processed and they are ready to eat. So nobody is keeping chickens. Nobody's getting live chickens. I'm sorry if that wasn't there.
No roosters are involved.
Okay. Sorry, I missed. My internet died for a second there and I missed the conversation, but. Dewan had his hand up. Did you get to answer your question, Dewan?
Yes, yes.
Okay, sorry about that. So any other council members have questions?
Yeah, Tom, Lee Malachi here.
Go ahead.
How you doing, Liz?
Well, Malachi.
How you doing? I'm not going to hit you with any hard questions or make you nervous at all. I just wanted to welcome you to the, you know, the youth center, and I'm sure the kids will definitely warm up to you. As well as the community.
Thank you very much, Malachi. I really appreciate that.
Okay. Any questions from the community, from the public? Don't see any yet.
No, Houston does. I'm trying to raise my hand here.
Okay. Make it polite.
Right. Hi, Liz. Bill Houston. How are you?
Hey, Bill, am I supposed to put a face to the name?
Yeah, yeah. Likewise, and I wish you well, and I'm glad you're aboard, and you seem very receptive to questions. I was wondering if you could address a couple of things, issues related to Oakdale that I've been bringing up for years. One of them, I know there is a change. I think, well, you told me a week ago that DPW will now be maintaining, at least cutting the grass at Oakdale. I was wondering if you could, if you have anything to say about that, because I think people in attendance here might be interested to hear that.
Yeah, DPW has been really great to work with since I started. We met together, my first full week, and we talked about how we can best support each other and making sure we're doing what needs to be done for Oakdale and that maintenance. They got a lot to do and not a huge staff to do it, so they've figured out a way to help get us someone who's spending the majority of their time over there supporting us with lawn maintenance. We're working on getting the mower fixed with them, and it's really been great working with them. We have a game plan to get everything done and maintained, and so I'm hopeful for that relationship to work out really well.
Great, great. Maybe Rob can tell me, but as far as you know, they'll be mowing the grass and the weeds weekly, or do you know?
I don't know if it'll be weekly, but well enough to maintain it so that it stays in a reasonable length is my understanding.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anything would be better than what's been happening. Two other quick things. One of my big beefs about, that park, is that it has garbage cans that are unlike any other garbage cans in town. They don't have a locking lid on the top. So what happens if they don't get, emptied, in a timely fashion before they fill up is if they start to overflow. And this does not happen in any other park or on any street in the city of Hudson.
Okay, I have a question, Bill, not an editorial.
I just wonder if you would consider talking to DPW or whoever it takes to get garbage cans that we are accustomed to seeing in parks in Hudson, rather than, for instance, the garbage can in the back entrance is just a Rubbermaid container with a plastic bag inside it. It's not attached to anything and it doesn't have a top. And this is just, in my eyes, it's just not sufficient. So,
yeah, I mean, garbage removal is really important, and especially in that park with the amount of use it gets and how quickly things fill up. We've got a tri-weekly schedule for getting the garbage out of there, and I'm open to talking to everybody that I work with at the park to see if there's a better option for those cans. Doesn't mean that it's definitely going to change, but I'm open to the conversation.
Okay. And the last thing is there's a bunch of little signs around the trail. Looks like they're designed for children, introducing them to the park, the trail. Who put those up and how long will those be around, do you know?
we did a partnership with someone that I don't remember off the top of my head, and we put them up to do a guided trail walk so people could see what there was and what the natural flora was and identify trees and stuff like that. And I'm not sure the timeline. I think they are a limited thing. I would imagine they'll be down for camp, and we'll have some other stuff up in their place.
Okay, but you don't remember who it was?
Not off the top of my head, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I can't get started before your time. So. All right, thanks very much.
Yeah,
thank you, Bill. Okay, I think that's it for the Youth Center report. Thank you, Liz and Maya.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
You're welcome. Robin Waters, are you here? There you are. I see you down there.
So don't have much of an update. We're still in process, pending resolution and a meeting with the BA in order to finally be able to hire a full-time employee. So we are kind of cutting back on our programs as we are going through this process until we have adequate staffing to coordinate them and to support them. We are maintaining our long-term programs because one is virtual, so we're doing virtual yoga. That time is going earlier because the seniors wanted to kind of do it sooner and then have their whole day since things are open and outside and things like that. And then we have our aerobics class still happening at the waterfront. But we're going to just maintain those programs until we can be more fully staffed and have the space open. So that's basically it until we receive more support. I don't know if, Tom, if you have an update regarding the resolution to create the senior center as its own department or...
I think it requires more than a resolution. Am I correct, Jeff?
Yeah, it's a local law. It's an amending the charter. We have to go through the charter.
So it's going
It's a, just adopting a local law.
Right. Jeff has been tasked with working on that, so that should happen sooner than later.
Yeah, so we need that to happen in order for us to be able to hire a director because we can't hire a director until its own department. So
now that other, I thought we had worked out that you already had a budget to hire a full-time person. Is that?
No, we did not. We worked it out to hire a part-time person, but it was never worked out to hire a full-time person formally. It was just agreed that we would.
Okay. Let me look further into that and we'll get that moving as well. We're having a separate BA meeting on the next week on Wednesday. So we should definitely make that part of the agenda.
Great. Thank you so much.
Any questions for Robin from the council? Jane, is that your hand up? You probably have to unmute yourself too with your other hand.
Thanks. I got that. Robin, you mentioned that the morning yoga center that takes place at the waterfront is under your jurisdiction, or is that a county thing?
Okay, those are two separate things. So the morning yoga program is virtual through the senior center, but the aerobics class is at the waterfront, and that's through the senior center. And I know there was an issue with the class being on the walkway, so we've requested that a ADA-compliant mat be ordered so that they can be safely on the grass. Because of the grass being uneven, it's not very safe for people who may have had knee replacements or hip replacements, things like that. It has to be even. So we are waiting for that to arrive.
Oh, did you say mat, M-A-T, as in surface?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, yeah, because, yes, that's good. Do you have any idea when that mat will be in place?
I don't, because it does have to go through the youth department's ordering process, and I'm waiting for an update from them of when it was ordered and when it might come in.
Oh, okay, but it's underway.
It's underway, yes.
Okay, I shall report back to the people who have asked me about this. Okay.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions from the council for Robin? From the public, any questions for Robin? I don't see any yet, so I guess we will move along. Next, thank you, Robin. Next up is finance. Heather Campbell, are you here somewhere? Yes, you are. Unmute yourself. Heather? Heather Campbell.
I'm here.
Okay, there we go.
Sorry, there's just a lot of people on the call tonight because there's several screens to find out where my name is. So I'm just going to go ahead and share my screen.
Okay.
Okay, so this should be relatively quick today. I didn't update that. Apologies. I didn't update the financial reporting thing. We actually went through the AUD last month, but the entire AUD is up on the city website, and I encourage everybody to go and take a look at it. And I would be happy to spend time with anyone who would like to have a better understanding of what it reports and the information that it provides. In terms of the 2020 audit, we are obviously getting a much earlier start than we were able to do for the 2019 audit. So we've already had our initial kickoff meeting, and we're scheduled to have auditors in-house the week of January 21st, where they'll be doing random sampling of things like payroll and vouchers. And I updated the department heads on that last week. In terms of the first round of borrowing for 2021, the official statement and notice of sale have been finalized. They're actually available on the city website under the treasurer documents section. For those people who might be interested in going to take a look at it, it's interesting because the notice of sale is not particularly interesting, but the official statement actually has not just a lot of information about the city's financials, but it also talks about, you know, economic development. And I actually, you'll see a little later, I took out one section about tax collection rates. It talks about city employment and union schedules. And so it's a very interesting snapshot. The whole point is to give the people who might be potentially interested in investing in the city of Hudson a well-rounded picture of the city as a whole. So I encourage anyone who would be interested to go take a look at that. We are scheduled to put the sale on June 14th and planning on closing on June 25th, which will give us the money in time for obviously the Promenade Park, which is one of the first ones, as well as the fire truck, which is coming up pretty quickly, and then the water and the sewer projects that we've talked about before. We were able to actually reduce the amount that we were initially intending on borrowing by close to $1 million because we were able to do some inter-fund loans, and some of the expenses, particularly for the water and sewer projects, have already been incurred. So that's good news, obviously, because if we're borrowing less, we're going to pay less on the ban in 2022. So it went down from about $35,000 to about $25,000. This is, again, another repeat. Sorry, I had a very busy day today, so I did not do my editing as well as I could have. And we've talked before about the fact that we'll be doing another round of borrowing before the end of the year. The primary purpose for that is the balance of the DRI project, particularly the complete streets. Also, the NYPA streetlights project, which we've been talking about for a while, and also the ADA improvements to City Hall, which was approved last month. So we'll obviously be borrowing money for that as well. And that's pretty much it on the borrowing front. Operational, Heather? We talked about this last month.
Have any of the monies come in from the DRI project?
Not a lot.
Okay.
About $48,000 maybe. It's been interesting because our project manager sends the forms in and they keep bouncing them back with minor corrections. And literally it took us 6 months to get the first payment approved from the first time that it was submitted to New York State to the time that we got the reimbursement was almost a half a year. And so that's why it's going to be very important to sort of keep an eye on the borrowing and understand how much we might need to refinance, because as you know from previous meetings,
we're doing a ban, which is a bond anticipation note, as opposed to a bond itself, because much of the money that we're borrowing is intended to be reimbursed by the DRI, so there's no reason to do a long-term financing on that.
Right.
But we don't know, you know, again, we don't know how quickly the reimbursements are going to continue to come. So I'll be keeping a very close eye on that going forward.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I had said last month after the AUG was complete, we were going to start on the OSC plan. So my intent is to reach out either this week or next to the city clerk and a couple other people, as we've talked about before, or to start getting some of those initiatives in place. One should be relatively straightforward in terms of accruals. It will be relatively straightforward in terms of the system to track accruals. However, we're still going to need to create a policy that the Common Council will have to approve in terms of how accruals will be identified, earned, used, and eventually grandfathered. So that's definitely an initiative that's going to start this month. In terms of short-term rental compliances, we're on schedule to send out notices this week. We got the full access to lodging revs, taking a look at it. We've scrubbed the list to make sure that there wasn't anything that was outside of the borders of Hudson. They integrated what our other provider found in terms of properties. So we have what I believe is a complete list ready to go. They already have the language that Jeff Baker wrote. So I think I'm just waiting for one more confirmation from somebody else to vet the list to make sure that we didn't miss anything. So that should go out probably as soon as tomorrow or Wednesday.
What's the number now?
I don't know the number off the top of my head. The 31 from our other provider was reduced to 27 because four of the properties were out. I think that lodging revs found another, I want to say like 9 maybe.
Wow.
Rebecca's on the call. She might know that answer better than me. I actually pulled it all up today when I was looking through the list, but unfortunately the list didn't have, it's not numbered, so I would have had to count it all down by hand, and I just ran out of time, frankly. But I can get that information to you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
But it's you know, well under 50. And it's when you look at the initial video training that they did with Rebecca and Michael Chimides, one of the first things they said was Hudson doesn't really have a compliance problem. So that was great to hear. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be going after anyone we find. Okay, and then just in terms of other things that my department's been doing is we've been doing a bunch of cost estimations, working with the labor attorney on the HPD grievance that you're all aware of. So obviously don't have any specific information on that, but I just wanted to make sure you knew it was happening. And unless anybody has questions on those issues, I'm just going to move to some of the revenues that we track on a regular basis.
Any questions from the
question?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, right. Heather, I know I haven't reread the code in a bit, but I remember, I believe there is some kind of fine for like non-compliant properties, right?
So yes.
I guess that'll be the next kind of phase of administering the compliance is how to enforce the fines.
Yes, and you know, that's going to be difficult because Rebecca, as you and I discussed, once we went through the training, lodging rev basically makes an assumption in terms of what percentage of the time where they're booked is actually booked for real, as opposed to, say, an owner showing booked time on the schedule because it's their home and they plan on being there. So, but having said that, although that software is not necessarily going to give us the information that's going to give us that information. The law does give a significant amount of ability for us to basically go to court and request their financial records and things like that. And if that's what we have to do, that's what we will do.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Sure.
Okay.
Anything right. else?
I don't see anything.
Okay. Okay, so again, looking at some of the, you know, our basic revenues, there's really nothing new here except the numbers have changed, but the story remains the same. On and off street parking is basically a little low at this point, but again, as I say every time, that one is specifically that one's different because there is a timing gap in terms of when the coins are collected, when they get deposited and all of that. So I'm not concerned about that, honestly. Front Street Municipal Lot, on the other hand, you know, it continues to be the same story. It will be interesting to see, I think, for the second half of this year, if that starts to pick up because offices are starting to open. But again, I'm not sure any of us think it's going to climb back to where it used to be because people are getting more comfortable with working from home, etc. On the other hand, parking and other permits is looking very strong. So, and that was the same thing as last month as well. And then parking tickets, we discussed that last month as well. It continues to be strong. So that's all good news. We're at basically 50% of our budget estimate, and we're only 5 months of the year. So that's looking strong. And then I just have the year-to-date comparison. I started doing this because of COVID and wanting to understand what the impact was. But I realized there's no downside to continuing to do it. It's just a little more labor, but I think it's as valid, if not more valid, way to look at the information. So you can see that on and off street parking, a little lower than a year ago. But again, the timing issue, I think, is going to resolve that. Front Street Municipal Lot, obviously, significantly down. Parking and other permits and parking tickets are significantly up versus where we were January through May of 2020. And so that's a great sign. And then if we just look at building permits and fees, again, plumbing permits, we're quite ahead of last year and almost close to budget. I mean, granted, it's not a huge amount of money. The entire budget was only $10,000, but still, that's a great sign. And obviously, you know, based on everything that I am hearing, I anticipate both of those will continue to grow. It's fascinating because I don't know how many of you are in the middle of home renovations or whatever, but the cost of building materials has just skyrocketed. It is insane. Like, you used to get a sheet of plywood for something like $32, and now it's over $80. Same thing for, you know, 2x4s and things like that. Okay. So people are out there and they're building and the demand is high. So I think we're going to continue to see these increase. And as I mentioned last month as well, obviously we have a couple big projects coming in. So I certainly anticipate that number to be going up. I've been told that the increase in building supplies went up 400% in 18 months. So that's why we're not working on our house anymore. And then the last thing I have is, this is the one thing that I said that I took, one of the things I thought was interesting. So I plucked it out of the official statement to share with you because I think it's an interesting, it shows a little sort of history and insight into Hudson's economy. So the first thing we have here is the assessed valuations, and not a surprise, we know that we went through a reevaluation. So you can see it jumping from 5.4 million to 7.18 million. And that was obviously the year that we did the reevaluation. And you can see that the equalization rate is now at 100%. You know, the thing I want to emphasize to people is it's not if the assessed valuation is too low, the state makes an adjustment for it and bounces it back up anyway. So that's what these equalization rates are. So basically in 2019, the state looked at it and said, hey, you're on the record is $406 million, but we think that's only 77% of what it's actually worth. They thought that the market value of the taxable properties in the city was closer to $528 million. 2020 was the year we did the real evaluation, and you'll actually notice there was a slight drop in the evaluations from 2020 to 2021. That's because of grievances and certain grievances that were approved and their assessments were reduced. The next line here is tax rates. So again, not surprisingly, you know, we used to have a pretty significant tax rate, also called the mill rate, if you hear that phrase. And that's basically the amount of dollars you have per $1,000 of your home assessment. And you can see, not surprisingly, when the assessed valuation goes up, the mill rate goes down because we did not substantially change the amount that we actually levied for taxes. And again, you can see that it went up slightly from 2020 to 2021, and that's directly the result of the fact that the assessed valuation decreased somewhat because, as everybody knows or should know, we held the tax rate even from 2020 to 2021. So the only reason that the mill rate changed was because of the reduction in the total assessed value. This is another thing that these two things I think are actually pretty interesting and something that we try and track on a regular basis as well, which is our tax collection rate. And what you'll see, and I don't think people will be surprised by this, but, you know, if you look at 2019, this is just, this section here is just the city levy, just the city tax levy. So in 2019, we levied $5.27 million in taxes. We had 187,000 left at the end of the year. So that's an uncollected rate of 3.56%, which is pretty darn good, like really good, actually. Not surprisingly, in 2020, with COVID and all of these other issues, you can see that that increased almost 50%. So it still is very strong collection rate, still only a little over 5% uncollected, but you can see the pattern and the impact of that. Same thing, this is the total tax collection, because the city obviously collects for itself. It also collects for the county and has to make the county whole at the end of every year. It collects for the school for 2 years and then has to make them whole. And then we re-levy water and sewer onto tax bills if they remain unpaid at the end of the year. So if you look at that as the entire tax levy, you can see that in 2019, we were at 4.43% and it's increased up to 6.2% as of 2020. So again, same impact of COVID, but not as bad as I think some of us would have been concerned. I'm boring you, Tom. I apologize.
No, you're not. Sorry if I yawned.
It looked like you yawned.
It is never a reflection of boredom. Just tired. No, thank you, Heather.
And that's all I've got, so.
Questions from the council? I can't see you because of the posting, so just speak out loud if you have a question.
Oh, sorry, let me stop my share too.
Okay, there we go. Anybody have a question from the council? I don't see any hands raised. Anybody from the public have a question? Well, thank you, Heather.
You are welcome.
Now I definitely won't be bored because it's Rob Perry and that's the exciting part of the night. Rob, are you there?
Lock and low, baby.
Shaheem, you're going to be posting.
I got it.
Oh,
I got it.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Rob, yeah, my daughter gave me a tutorial, so I'm all set.
Oh, about, yeah, great. Go ahead, Rob. Is that an arm? Oh, never mind.
I had to dress it up a little bit. So just going over sewer quickly, septage for April was $39,000, so we budget about $35,000 and anticipated, and that's what happens. Winter starts out slow, and we start building up as we get through the spring and warmer weather. So that's good news. The Power Avenue and Mill Street pump stations are both complete. We've submitted or are in the process of submitting our requests for reimbursement from that project, which will go back to the sewer fund, which will then go back to the capital or to general fund because they loan money. That's underway. The total amount was $263,000, was from DEC. That represents 40% of the project. Also, in this past month, we were awarded a $100,000 environmental planning grant. And as most are aware, there's our sewer system is extremely old. You know, we'd have mapped it with GPS coordinates. We did that about 10 years ago. This is more about trying to figure out what's actually happening with flows and some modeling and some analysis, but also to target which areas would benefit most from upgrading and sooner, and also come up with some more realistic construction numbers, because we don't really have a whole lot out of other than assumptions right now. And the goal is that, you know, we've heard that this big bucket load of money is supposed to be coming for infrastructure, and the results of the grant would make our application stronger theoretically. So that's, you know, it's like putting bait on to catch a big fish, I guess, is an analogy maybe. So we're on the process of putting together some contract documents for that, and we'll have something for the council next week, just a secret determination and just accepting the grant. The water department, so this is where the raw water main comes in to the water plant, and it splits off one. There's two different, one goes into the plant and one goes to a backup to the tank. So as we discussed last month, we're trying to put a pressure relief valve outside. So this was the excavation. After the site was excavated, this was done with a tapping sleeve, and there's actually a piece of equipment that cores a hole through the main, and so we don't have to do a shutdown. And eventually, this is a stormwater thing where when the pressure relief valve releases water, it'll go into that stormwater structure. That's why we chose the location. After we mounted this, we poured the foundation. Those are the rebar and chairs for concrete, and there goes the concrete. So this portion's done. Right now we're just waiting for the PRV to be constructed so we can install it, and then we'll start forming walls around it. Just as a general, there was also we did have water break this month, and that was down on Power Avenue. In that instance, it was an old repair from a sleeve, and the bolts were steel instead of stainless steel, so the bolts actually rotted off and the sleeve let loose. So we replaced the sleeve and the stainless steel bolts. Promenade Hill, this project is something that I agreed to do about 5 years ago. And, 5 years ago on a January day when Sheena says, hey, would you agree to do demolition of the Promenade Hill for our DRI application? It sounded like a great idea. Obviously, it was a significant amount of work. And, we got started a little late because of the money issue. So anyway, this is up. These are the upper stairs of the promenade. And just to give you an idea, I mean, look, the size of this rebar is about almost 2 inches in diameter, and it's braided. It's like wrought iron. We've never really encountered anything like this before. So that's what we had to contend with, as well as getting the concrete out. And this was the upper playground because we were doing the alternate. So we volunteered. I found out that we volunteered to remove a foot of the material. So it's a little smaller. We can't get the larger equipment up here. So we have a little skid steer, an excavator, and this is a compressor. The compressor's for the jackhammer, which had to be used to go underneath all the playground equipment that is remaining. And so that was all handwork, and then they shovel it out, and then we scooped it away. This is, hammering concrete and throwing in. This truck was loaned to us by the town of Claverick because our trucks are small. We'd fill them up pretty quickly, and then there'd be a lot of, we'd either have to put extra staff down, an extra driver, or, have some downtime. So, thanks to Claverick for allowing us to use their larger truck. It's just the size of some of the stuff. I mean, this is the footing for one of those old brick walls that was there. So there's an awful lot of concrete that was down there. And it was certainly laborious, but they did get through it. Just more of, pounded up rubble from the old staircase. Even when we took the footings out and we saw the beat them up with the, this is the impact hammer we use for road excavations, but you know, it did the trick here. One backhoe breaks in the foreground and the one in the background loads that into a, pulls it off the side and loads into a truck. So it was four guys for almost a month. You know, this is one of the catch basins that had to be removed and a concrete pipe that was removed. And before the project started, we had concrete samples tested to make sure that they were transite or asbestos concrete, and they came back negative. So that's just plain old Portland cement. This is just so that I can give you an idea. Even in the summertime, this is actually a belly plow from one of our trucks. And so, you know, we had a very active winter, and part of the maintenance is in the summertime to work on the snow equipment. So this just gives you the idea of the size of the belly plows that are underneath those large trucks. And in this instance, one of the pistons, rams became bent. So you can see how it's tweaked a little bit. So they have to actually remove the ram, replace it. We'll have a portion of it rebuilt. You know, this part here obviously has to get scrapped because it's bent. Can't retool that. So, you know, even when it's 94 degrees out, we're working on snow. The flashing red RFBs, we did put another set up on Warren Street and Park by Grayson. I believe they're in and functional. We're currently building another set to go over on the Columbia Street side, and then there's just one more set to install after that. So this is the roof at City Hall. There was some water damage inside. You know, it looked like a little leak at first, and then all of a sudden it was a big leak. So we sent the guys, we tried to get roofers, and, you know, they tried to get a roofer. I mean, there's a joke somewhere in the middle of that. But so we did get, our guys went up there, and, you know, you could see where it's, the seal was totally not there. You could see how the way the material was going underneath. Here's the line limit of the seal, and this is water that was making its way underneath. So we did have some spare material from when our guys did the cemetery garage, which, you know, it's EPDM, same thing with the glue. So we did put it down. We were able to patch it, and we've had a couple rainfalls since then, and nothing's come through. But it is a patch. We were able to get a roofer up there before we patched it, and they did identify some pretty significant subroof damage. So I know there's a contract going out for ADA, and you may want to think about adding this to that project or doing a separate project. It's up to you guys, but I just want to make you all aware of it. We have, so this is down at the Chamber of Commerce. They have those little split units that are on the side, and that's how they do the air conditioning. These things are, I can probably.
Toggle
back and forth. You know, it's back as in 2014, there were issues with these split units. And even in 2014, you know, we addressed that two out of three of the units as failure. And it was $2,000 worth of work. You know, what happened is when the contractor was doing the work down there in 2009 or whatever, they kind of beat the hell out of the lines when they pulled them through the block and the brick. And it, not a Rob Perry project, by the way. But it was, you know, they beat it. So, you know, we've been contending with this for a while, and we've been able to identify leaks and patch them as we can. But now they won't take any charge at all. They're just totally shot. Plus, you know, for the last year, basically, people have been sitting on them, you know, because there's a lot more activity down there. And so they've got some physical damage because, you know, they're not designed to be sat on. So we do have, this is just $13,000 is just the quote for materials and labor to replace the ones that are for the chamber itself. The one that's in the conference room actually drips water when it runs for more than a couple hours, so they have to turn it off. So there's obviously some issues with that, condensation and the dryer. So, you know, this is, you know, this gets the downstairs. We believe that there's also issues with the unit serving the second floor, but since there's nobody really in that office, you know, I wanted to deal with this downstairs first. So this just gives you, you know, this is, you know, an idea. Obviously, the sales tax goes out. It was just a quick quote. But, you know, you're basically in the 13 grand range to get that done. So as far as summer streets, you know, we were able to get all those blocks down. That was through great assistance from the county. This is a heavy duty tractor or equipment trailer. They call it a low boy. It can handle about 30,000 pounds. So, you know, the biggest logistical issue with us was the fact that they were 15 minutes away down in Livingston. So we did reach out to our friends and colleagues at the county, also the town of Claverick and the town of Greenport provided crews to haul and crews to help us unload and set. So, you know, we do a sense of thanks to those guys for giving us a hand. Ferry Street Bridge. So this is just a quick shot. There was a utility meeting down at the bridge because obviously the new bridge is going to be, it has bike lanes, it has sidewalks, and it has actual lanes. So this whole bridge is going to be down here. And so all this utility pole, these overheads, these leaders, everything has to get shoved over to the side. So, you know, we're dealing with Amtrak's property over here. You know, this is something that's going to be, you know, a little bit, you know, significant. And for whatever reason, so let me see. So this is a letter we received from Bergman. Bergman is the engineer contractor for CSX that's reviewing our plans. And, you know, they have the same comments every time. And most notable is this comment here where they go on about absolute minimum vertical clearance, recommends design 23 feet. They're basically saying it's got to be 23 feet, and even if you build it and it turns out it's not 23 feet, we're going to make you rebuild it or do whatever else. But, you know, the absurd part is, you know, in case there's any uncertainties, inaccuracies, errors, fabrication, insulation, and track raises due to maintenance of the track structure. So even if we, you know, raise our tracks, you still have to build it high enough. But, you know, clearly they're not committing to it or giving us any input as to what that amount might be. So, you know, welcome to dealing with the railroads. Again, they get into the 23 feet. You know, there's some other questions about the abutments. So this is our most recent, but you know, other than that, it's pretty straightforward. I'm missing a page. I don't know how the printer didn't get this right. So let me see if I can add this one page because it's kind of cool. That's not it. Ah, here it is. So and I'll resubmit this as part of it. So as because of the constraints of the bridge, we have to make those elevations. CSX, Amtrak, and are pretty, you know, adamant. Plus, there's limited approaches. I mean, we can't move Front Street more to the east, and we can't move the river more to the west. So we have this tiny footprint to put this span in and make the clearance. So in order to support the bridge, right now it looks like there's going to be a truss superstructure, which is what you have already down there. You know, so this is what it would look like from the side. And this is looking at it as if you were driving over it. You'll see the three spans, one on either side, one in the middle, which basically what you have now. So I assume that shouldn't be too objectionable because it's what's doing it now. But the reality is that there's a lot of constraints, and the amount of kind of leeway that we have from one to the other is, you know, there's not a whole lot of options out there for us. Back to this guy. And just, you know, the cemetery, we tried to make a run for Memorial Day. You know, we got some of it and some of it we didn't. And now that we've, you know, we've got those extra two part-timers up there, hopefully we'll be caught up. One of the other things is, you know, we do try to get the foundations. Everybody says, what's a foundation? It's literally like a blob of concrete that they put a marker on or a monument on. But it doesn't look like much, but it's actually usually 3 to 4 feet deep. And unfortunately, a lot of instances, the equipment can't get to where it needs to go. So they actually dig it by hand with a shovel. So it is, it's very labor intensive. You know, get the material out, and then a concrete truck has to, you know, can't drive by all these stones, so they stay on the road, and they have to load concrete into the wheelbarrows and then running them all over and around and up and above and dumping it. So it's an extremely laborious process. There were 25 that were done, and they are in now. So that's what I got.
That's it?
That's it, man.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Rob. Questions from the council? Can you take your screen down, Rob, so I can see everybody?
I'm trying.
Okay. You want to get your daughter to do it for you?
Oh, my daughter, yeah. All right, there we go.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Dawn, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. Like, when the Power Avenue, the pipe broke, when is it going to be fixed, that road?
Well, it's we haven't done any blacktop yet because we're about 4 to 6 weeks behind in everything. So we just put the little stone down there and let it keep compacting. But once we get, you know, a full blacktop crew together, because we just don't do, you know, one patch at a time. We'll do like 15 or 20 during a day. So get a little speed bump down there for a couple more weeks.
Probably. Yeah.
Councilmen and women, any other questions for Rob? Public, any questions from the public?
Okay.
Who's that?
Do you know the timeline of do you know the timeline of the project that is happening on Columbia Street on 2nd and Columbia? I noticed a blacktop was put up recently where the barricades are.
That was a sewer collapse. The concrete's in, but like I said, when we have enough guys together, we can do a concrete. We'll finish that patch up. Right now, the barriers are just there to keep people from dropping the concrete. It's about a 2-inch drop, so we don't want vehicles to get damaged. So it's a couple weeks at least.
Thank you, Tiffany. Bill, questions, yeah. Not speeches, please.
What's that?
Questions and comments, but yeah. No speeches.
No speeches, huh? Right. Rob, I want to ask a question that I seem to ask every other year for the past 6 years. I'm wondering why the lights, the lamps in the City Hall municipal lot are on during dark days. This past Saturday, the farmer's market, I passed by there twice, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, and they were on all the lights, 17, 18, 19, whatever. They're on. What's going on there?
And you're absolutely right, Bill. I agree with you. You have asked for this every year for the last 6 years, and I'll tell you the same answer I've told you for the last 6 years. The sensor is located on the bottom of the panel that's over in that little park, if you will. And so it's kind of shaded, and it's down near the ground. And so when it is overcast, the lights come on. They also come on when it's dark out.
So this is never going to be...
No. Go ahead. Next question, like, Bill.
Hold on. I'm going to ask a question. Just, Tom, please. Is this something you would like to fix?
It's not in the plans right now.
Okay. And I'm curious. Is the city of Hudson paying for that electricity that's not used when the lights shouldn't be on? Who's paying for that?
We pay a flat rate.
So we're not paying for that.
Okay. Next question, Bill.
We're not paying for that waste electricity. Next question, Bill. I don't understand his answer. Tom, please just step aside for a second. Or who is paying for that electricity that we don't need to be using?
Like I said, we get charged a flat rate.
So you don't know. The city doesn't pay any more
when
the lights
rate.
Are on or off.
Correct.
That right?
That's what he just said. Just like he's told you 6 years.
My last question regarding this is it impossible to fix, or you just don't want to do it?
It's not a question of fixing it, Bill. You're not following, I don't think. I've heard this answer for many years.
We shouldn't be wasting. My contention is we should not be wasting electricity. Okay. Any sensible person.
Your contention is that the light shouldn't be on when it's overcast or cloudy, and my contention from a safety point is that they probably should. I think the lights are on when they should be on.
Whenever the lights are on in the City Hall parking lot, I look over at the county lot, and they're never on.
Well, we care more about pedestrians than the county.
This could go on interminably, yep. Rob?
It could really be.
It's weird. Next question. Who's supposed to sweep South 3rd Street, 9G, in and out of town from the border up to the stop sign, or the stoplight at Partition? Or is that Alan? Yeah, it's Alan. Who's supposed to sweep the shoulders there in the street?
You know, sometimes we'll send a truck down. Sometimes DOT does.
Have you guys done it this year yet?
Oh, I don't know.
But I called DOT the other day, and they don't sweep anything within the city of Hudson. So
okay.
I'd like to see it swept because, you know, it is part of the new bike trail. You are aware of that, right?
I heard something about that, yes.
Yeah, and so yeah, it'd be nice if it were swept for the bicycle. Okay.
Next question.
Also, you've been aware of, a couple of years ago at least, aware of what were known as the worst tripping hazards on city property, and one of them was in front of the Union Street Municipal lot. Remember that?
I don't.
You don't? You did 2 years ago. Well, anyway, there's two really bad tripping hazards there, and I'm just wondering why the DPW keeps ignoring them. Because you don't remember?
I'm not aware of it.
Yeah, well, you were 2 years ago, Rob. It's hard to believe.
That's what you say.
Really, Rob? That's your tack?
Next move. Question.
Bill. So, I'll tell you, Rob, there's two pretty bad tripping hazards on
that.
City property.
He'll look at
Union Street lot. You ought to take care of them.
He'll look at it. Next question.
The hydrants, I took a bike ride down Warren Street the other day, and I tried to notice every fire hydrant along the way. In front of the fire hydrants on the curb is all yellow paint on 12 feet on each side or 10 feet. There's also white lines in the street. Why are the white lines there?
Because Warren Street is a commercial street, and it has a lot of people that don't know what's where for infrastructure, so we make it as easy as possible for them to know where they can and where they cannot park.
All right. So, and the rest of the hydrants in town, do they all need to get paint or just some of them?
No, because the residents are there. I mean, you've got a hydrant in front of your house. You know where it is, right? It doesn't move from one year to the next.
I'm not the only person that parks there, Rob.
Well, yeah.
What you're telling me is...
Calm down, Bill.
Is that some hydrants get paint and some others don't. Is that right?
I'm absolutely telling you that. That's true.
Why is that? Why?
Because we put them in a commercial district. We don't put them in residential districts. Because the residential districts, we just put the yellow on the curb, and the neighbors know where to park and where not to park.
Okay, next question,
if not,
Bill.
If there's not a curb...
Bill, you got your answer. Bill, you got your answer. Next question.
What's the purpose of stop lines at intersections,
Rob? Okay, I think we're done. Thanks, Bill.
Hello?
Okay, thank you, Rob. Any other questions?
Anytime.
Any other questions for Rob? Linda, don't make me laugh.
I'm sorry.
Okay, sorry. No questions from the public, other public, or anyone else. Okay, moving right along. Hi, we're not sure you're going to join us tonight, Chief, but there you are. Chief Moore, you're up.
Greetings, everybody. Happy summer. I'd like to start off with our required reporting, Section 9 reporting. I'm reporting now for the month of May 2021. We had no use of force incidents in May. And thus, we had no orders to intervene acts. We made 32 arrests over the month, which is below average, which is a good thing. We had dealings with 7 emotionally disturbed people and 1 overdose that did not result in a death and did not result in the use of Narcan. So below average across the board on that kind of activity. I think the most serious crime we had in May was a simple assault. So not bad at all. the department was busy with various seasonal details that we've done. On May 26th, we did a Buckle Up New York road check in the South Bay. We did on May 26th was with the troopers, and then on June 2nd was a detail with the sheriff's office. On May 29th, at the Central Firehouse, we conducted a car seat checkpoint. We publicized it, demonstrated how to install car seats, and we made available a car seat program for financially distressed families. On June 5th, just a couple nights ago, we had a four-member, what we call a quality of life detail, which is the officers went around on foot and in vehicles in plain clothes to check on things that affect the quality of life, loud music, dice games, open containers. The report from that was pretty light, despite a very hot and busy night in the city. A couple traffic tickets issued. Some youths at the Chamber of Commerce we engaged with, but no arrests. There was a report. We discovered a fire pit open flame that was addressed. So despite a very, very busy and hot night in the city of Hudson, everything was pretty smooth with no arrests. Everyone came into compliance. I've been meeting almost daily with Gary, and excuse me for not being on the first part of the meeting. I don't know if we discussed the Warren Street seasonal usage program, but I've been meeting and getting a good relationship with Gary Puragan to work on various things, the permitting for the shared streets and safety issues, and meeting with him. And I find like I'm having a very good working relationship with Gary to deliver a good program this summer. I'm glad to say that our almost 3-year project, in terms of rewriting Hudson City policy is the first stage is done. Our end of it, the administrative end is done. We've submitted our new policy reforms to the city council for review, and also the labor union for their review. So I think, in terms of the department reporting to you, that taking our policies out of was really like a 20th century laws and updating them and having a new dynamic policy that keeps abreast of laws changes and is interactive with our police officers is a great thing for the department. It'll also prevent lawsuits. It'll help in our training. I'm looking forward to the final part of this process that will deliver a modern police policy manual that will be second to none in the area. The city's invested about $30,000 in this project, which is a lot of money. And my Lieutenant Miller spent quite a bit of time reviewing it and getting it set up. Again, we're near the finish line on it, and we've discussed this at many, many police committee meetings. But the final product is about to be delivered, and it's a good thing for our department and also ultimately a good thing for our city to have a modern, up-to-date police policy manual for our officers. Lastly, in reporting, what I see on the horizon for this department is our police reporting system. A police reporting system that every police department has, it more or less it's a computerized blotter and report generating system. The company that we've used since 2003 is a company called Pamit that is going out of business or has been bought or sold. So the last couple of weeks we've been in the process of evaluating different systems, getting estimates to transfer our current electronic data into a new police reporting system. So this is going to be a 6-month project that we hope to consider in the budget process and offer a new modern system. But losing that company is no small thing. It's kind of boring to talk about, but all the information about this department, photographs, police reports, incident reports, blotter entries are all kept on computer. And for a company to say that, you know, we're going out of business, we're not going to give support for this system anymore, is serious business. So we need to find a new company, bring it in within budget, figure out how to pay for it. And that'll be the next big thing for the year 2022. But we're being proactive on it now to try to deliver it in time and the best for the best value for the city and the best functionality for our officers. So that's it from here. We've had a good start to the summer. That's all I have to report right now, Tom.
Thank you, Chief. Council members, questions? Want to raise your hand or Rebecca?
On the quality of life detail that you described, is that something, I mean, what is like the programmatic concept behind that? Is sort of like when it's warm out and people might be outside enjoying themselves?
What happens is this time of year when the weather gets warm, we get a lot of complaints at the department about sometimes crimes, sometimes violations, sometimes no violation at all. It's just an order keeping detail. For example, we'll get complaints of dice games, loud music that neighbors don't care for, people congregating in public places that create complaints. The mission isn't to go out and arrest everybody and give everybody tickets, because clearly we didn't do that. The mission is to bring the local ordinances in, you know, let folks know what they can and cannot do, to be considerate of their neighbors, and to sometimes move along, sometimes stay put. But that's the purpose of that, to address folks' quality of life in the neighborhoods.
Okay.
And traffic too, you know, the weekend's crazy with the traffic, so we try to address that also.
Other questions from the council?
Chief, just Dominic, quick question. Normally you help us out on Glenwood with the trailer during camp season, the speed trailer. Is that something that, you know, when camp opens up, can be arranged again this year?
Absolutely. Not a problem.
Great. Thanks.
Anyone else from the council? Questions? Jane, did you just raise your hand?
Oh, no.
Stretching.
I think you did.
But I have nothing to say.
You have to ask a question now.
Okay, I open up to the public. Questions? Raise your hand, please.
Hi, this is Heather.
No. Okay, Heather.
I just wanted to, you know, offer the chief anything that we can do to help support him when he's reviewing his new software opportunities. Please feel free to reach out to our office and we will help you do the cost benefit analysis and all of that stuff.
Very good. I was going to, Heather, we're starting to get the estimates in now and talking about payment schedules and things like that. I appreciate that offer. We'll take you up on it.
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks.
Any other offers for the chief? Or questions? I mean, Malachi.
Chief Moore, how you doing, sir?
Good.
All right. You know, just being that we're, you know, about to head into the summer, summertime, and with the weather being so high, is there anything in place to just address, any individuals that may be homeless in the city? Like, I don't know, maybe like some... maybe water, or, you know, just providing some type of, safety aid in that regards due to the weather.
Absolutely. The county will alert us of heat warnings, and we'll set up cooling stations. We also work with the fire department on that. I know it was like 94 degrees yesterday and there was none, but I would expect this summer for us to put out information and to set up cooling stations when needed. So, Malachi, yes, we will do that, and it will put it out on Facebook on the city website when conditions get so.
All right, great. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chief. Rebecca, you have another question.
Oh, just to respond also to Malachi that and hopefully Chief Moore, I think you had some kind of correspondence with this organization that's working in Hudson called it's St. Catherine's, and they are providing some kind of homeless like services. It's like a truck that or a van rather that's gives out water probably and just basically like assisting with whatever needs there might be. So I don't know, actually I'm just curious, Chief Moore, if you actually have seen them working in the city. And
we had the correspondence. I haven't met with them personally. I look forward to that, and if that's their service, I'm sure we're gonna find them this summer. I think it'll be a long hot summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do great work. I know briefly about them.
Okay.
I don't see any other hands. That's it, Chief. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
So we're going to move along to resolutions. Jane, before we go along, Jane, did you want to make your announcement tonight about alternate side parking?
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Let me talk about that. I don't know if it's my announcement, but I will speak on behalf of the ad hoc committee that was formed to address alternate side street parking. I guess everybody here knows that it has been a topic, I think important to a lot of people in the city, and I certainly in our ward, in the first ward, it has been an issue. I've done some work on that, and I've reported in the ad hoc committee meetings. I think we sort of come to resolution, which is good news, because I think that was the whole point of having these ad hoc meetings or ad hoc committees, where they would address a specific topic and work it through. And in this case, in the first ward, the upshot has been that while there's really no change to alternate side street parking, it became clear in the research that was done that there was a keen need for better signage. Because there's a portion of the first ward that is west of Third Street that has no signage relevant to alternate side street parking. So working with both Rob Perry and Peter Pujano, we've determined a scheme to install signage that merely states that alternate side street parking is in effect. And of course, as it turns out, it's sometimes rescinded over the summer as it is now, but this will alert both residents and motorists that it is not a alternate side street parking free zone. And I think that people can infer from how the cars are parked which side of the street is the appropriate side to park. And I think that's a good resolution. If other people, if other alders and other wards wish to take this forward, I'm happy to work with them and share my experiences with it, and certainly encourage them to talk to both Rob and Peter. I sort of feel like the committee has done what it was set out to do, and because it's really a ward-by-ward project, that I feel that my part is complete. So if somebody else wants to take it forward, I'm happy to work with them, but otherwise I'd say that it's kind of wrapping up.
Thank you, Jane. Okay, moving right along, we're going to go to resolutions. Shaheem, could you start with the first resolution, please? Shaheem? Oh, there we go. Okay, first resolution is for Commissioner of Deeds. We all know how this goes. Can I have an introduction? Can I have an introduction, please?
Okay, I'll introduce.
Calvin, can I have a second, please?
I'll second. Okay.
Malachi. Thank you, Malachi. Okay, Calvin, I'm going to have to put you in the waiting room for the next one. In case people don't know, Malachi, or, I mean, I'm sorry, Calvin, where is he here? Is now working at the Youth Center. And this next resolution involves the Youth Center. There you go. This is just changing the name of one of the positions at the Youth Center. And I believe this is the position that will be filled by Calvin. So, can I have an introduction, please?
Duan.
Duan, thank you. And a second, please.
I'll second that.
Malachi, thank you, John. Any conversation tonight, or?
Well, so Tom, this position's provisional, right?
What do you mean it's provisional?
Because this is a civil service position, so
it's been cleared. It's been cleared with civil service.
Yeah, but it's provisional because it's going to be tested.
Oh, right? You mean provisional until tested? Correct.
Right. So, and so you said that Calvin's going to be taking the position, which is awesome.
I think
is awesome.
Yeah.
So does that mean he can't hold two positions in city? He can't be an alderman and work at the youth center.
Probably not.
That's going to be a loss, but that's going to be great for the youth department.
Yeah. I agree. Technically he could, but the feeling is, I mean, there's been no official announcement about this, but the feeling is it would prevent him from voting on way too many things, so it would probably be better if he resigned at some point. But we'll find out.
Because I thought even like, at one point, even if somebody was on the school board, they had to resign if they're a city because of you can't hold two certain positions, but also two city positions at the same time.
That's been said, but we don't seem to find any proof that that's actually true.
Isn't that right?
Who's talking there? Oh, Tiffany, isn't what right?
I believe what Dominic is saying is correct, and I was asking our attorney.
I've already asked our attorney, and he has said it is not correct. It only matters in terms of conflicts. So if there is a conflict, it would be difficult. So that's why most positions, you know, would have too many conflicts for it to be worthwhile to be on both boards. But there's no rule, apparently, saying you can't be on two different things in the city. But in this case, I think it would be better not to be an alderman as well as have a position in the youth department.
So wouldn't that be up to Calvin, though?
Jeff, you want to answer that question?
Well, we did. Tom's right in how we address this. The issue is called the doctrine of incompatibility of offices, and there's not a bright line rule about it. There are certain rules in the city in terms of where there can't be dual positions, but this is not one of the positions that Calvin's being hired for, but it's a sufficiently managerial and supervisory position that we did recommend that it's probably incompatible because of the number of times when youth department issues come before the council, from the budget to personnel issues to policy issues, you know, it runs the gambit. We can seek a formal opinion from the Attorney General's office. That would take time. It is ultimately Calvin's decision on how to proceed with that and make that determination. And I think you have to speak for himself, but I think there was a consensus that essentially just raises too many problems. And it goes to the issues of providing constituent services. If he can't vote on things, on issues that are, you know, relevant to his constituents, they're denied their representation. So
I think from an ethics perspective, the perception of resigning is the better move, I would say, just so we uphold that kind of level of integrity as public officials. That'd be my opinion.
Any other comments or questions before we move to the next resolution? Okay, Shaheem, clear the next resolution, please.
You need to let Calvin back in.
I am doing that right now. Okay, this is a resolution allowing authorizing the mayor to select Marshall and Sterling Upstate to provide insurance brokerage and risk management services. Can I have an introduction, please?
Dewan.
And can I have a second, please? Whoa.
I'll second.
Who was that? Who was that?
Malachi.
Oh, Malachi. Malachi. Thank you, Malachi. If with this resolution, we will be posting the survey of the proposals that came in. The mayor and Peter Bujano went through them and selected this group. So if you have any questions about the selection process, you can study that document. Now, the next resolutions did not come in time for Shaheem to put them up, but our attorney...
I'm sorry, Tom, can I interrupt?
Sure.
Sorry, I didn't mean to, but I just want to make sure that somebody has assured the fact that the Marshall and Sterling contract fits within the amount of money that's been budgeted for municipal insurance for this year, because if not, we cannot approve the resolution until there's been a budget amendment.
Okay, we'll check.
And I'm happy to do that if you want to send me the information.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
It's actually at the same rate as the current insurance provider, and we won't know if we have additional discount based on the risk until it's placed for this year. So we'll get that information once they come on board, Heather, to get the actual dollars. So this is basically on a commission basis, a discounted commission basis.
Thank you, Peter.
Okay.
Okay, Jeff, whichever one you want to post first. You're muted, by the way.
Sorry.
It's okay.
They're just four of them, right, Tom?
Yeah.
Can you see that?
Yes, we can. This is a resolution.
This is a resolution. Oh.
Go ahead.
This is to retain the architecture firm to provide the design services for the City Hall ADA project, following up on the bond resolution that was approved last month.
Thank you. And as you know, the firm of Lacey Thaler was the firm that did the assessment originally. Okay, can I have an introduction, please?
Calvin, I'll introduce.
Calvin, and a second, please.
Dewan,
thank you, gentlemen. Any more questions about this?
Hi, it's me again. I'm sorry, but given the fact that we have not, you authorized the bond resolution, but we have not, in fact, borrowed the money. Mm-hmm. So in addition to this, we're going to need a resolution that will authorize the loan of that amount of money to a capital fund so that we can fund the project. And I'd be happy to work with Jeff on that. But that will definitely have to happen before we can sign any kind of agreement.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Heather.
Next resolution, Jeff, please. Okay, this is a resolution soliciting bids for the improvements at Green Street and Fairview Avenue. As you know, this has been in the works for a while. DPW has prepared a package of bid specifications, and they are now going to circulate the project out for put the project out to bid. Can I have an introduction, please?
Eileen, I'll introduce.
Eileen, thank you, Eileen. And Dewan, second it. Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Jeff, the next one, please.
This is for the garage doors, and I've amended this, Tom, based on the previous discussion. And so you want to hear it, to handle all three of the garage doors at the combined price of $19,498.
Right. Can we sit down lower? Do you have the do we have the BEA information on it and everything?
Yep.
Okay. Excellent. Can I have an introduction and an introduction, please?
Okay.
Who is that?
Calvin.
Okay. Calvin, thank you. And a second, please.
I did. I do.
Dewan, thank you. Thank you, sir. Any questions? Comments from the board? I mean, sorry, from the council.
So now,
yes.
I know he said that the three doors were, were they needed, or was it just something that they feel was going to be is beneficial because the other two doors are coming in?
One of the doors is broken.
Yeah, it fell.
But I know about those ones, but I know he said a third door.
Right. He wants them, I guess, to all match and to increase the lighting and provide a uniform appearance to the building.
Nick is here to speak to it.
Nick, I'm sorry. Oh, sorry, Nick. I didn't see your hand. Oh, I do see it now. Nick, you want
to? Hey, sorry. Yeah. No problem. So again, like I explained earlier, what we're looking to do is eventually we'll change all of the rest of the doors. There's a total of seven in the front of the building, which will increase our lighting to the front. Right now, there's only three small windows in each door, maybe six small windows. I can't remember if it's one row or two. We don't get much natural light into the building at all. These new doors will be top to bottom light, which will allow more natural light as well as sun and reduce electricity costs. We won't have to keep the lights on all the time, during the day, be able to shut them down and increase the look of the building and curb appeal for the public to see all of our apparatus and show that off.
Okay. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Nick. Any other comments or questions? And the next resolution, please, Jeff.
Did you get an introduction on this? I'm sorry.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Nope, wrong one.
No, I got it.
Okay. This is, as you know, we're trying to move the code enforcement offices. And what we have found is a office on Warren Street that is fully ADA compliant, which is to say not only access, but also an ADA compliant bathroom that has the, it's on the street and has a lots of parking available. And while it may seem a little expensive at $2,000 per month, I've sought comparables, which are roughly the same, except many of them don't have what we had to have at this, which is all the ADA compliance as and the parking. So what else can I say about this? Oh, this will come to $24,000 a year, but that is considerably less than renting a pod, which is what we were also looking into. And thirdly, right now, the annual utility bill at where they are is roughly $8,000. In this $24,000 a year contract, it is inclusive of all utilities. So that's worth thinking about too when we make this move. So, can I have an introduction, please?
Calvin, I'll introduce.
Thank you, Calvin. And a second.
Yeah, second.
Dewan. Malachi beat you, Dewan. I just also should mention this is completely fined by the code enforcement. They were involved at this at every stage and are looking forward to the move.
Hey, Tom, the utility bill, you say $8,000. That's a yearly, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, you're like,
but
oh
it's still
God.
That's still a lot. And the reason is they can't separate the spaces. The entire building has to be heated and
one line, okay.
Yeah, that's why it's so high. Okay, any other questions about that?
Tom?
Yes.
Is this lease covered within the existing code enforcement budget? If not, it's going to require a budget amendment as well.
Okay. We'll work on that tomorrow and get a budget amendment. Okay. What else? Moving along, the proposed local law amending Chapter 266 of the Hudson City Code that requires repairs to sidewalks and that it be performed in accordance with the Americans with Disability Act standards is still on your desk. Jeff, does it need to ripen some more?
No.
So we might vote on
you can vote on it
next
week.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice. That's just under 2 hours. And now we open it up for general comment and questions. First from council members. Please raise your hand. Okay, Tiffany, do you have something you wanted to say?
Yes, I'm working on a resolution, and I'll send it to you, Tom. I would just like to give the council a heads up. It's a proposal for the development of a people's housing policy. It will give people the strength, so to speak, when they are being... Can you hear me?
Yes.
When the landlords are taking the law into their hands or taking advantage of their tenants and not keeping their apartments up to code or the repairs that are needed in the apartments to make sure that they're being maintained and giving the tenants the right to move forward if need be when the landlord is not pertaining to what needs to be done in this proposal.
Tiffany?
Yes, Tom.
Because I recently sent to Jeff a information provided by... I can't remember the woman's name, who met with a bunch of housing advocates. Is it the same sort of covering the same material or?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Okay, we'll talk about it offline. But that's good. We look forward to it.
Thank you.
Anybody else on the council have comments or questions?
I just wanted to bring up about the tool library before Ford. But it's a Timothy, and I don't want to botch his name up, so I'm gonna just say Timothy F, who is I believe he's in charge, spearheading this thing. But he has a website. And a launch date. His team actually sent out a survey to every resident in the fourth ward. An opening event is Sunday, June the 20th,
I'm at the Basilia down on Front Street, 110 Front Street. It's free admission. The tool shed exchange is a new tool library where members can actually borrow tools, and a membership is open to everybody, based on a sliding scale donation. And they're saying they wanted to, provide the kind of tools for our community in Hudson that, need us the most. So, anybody, you can help by taking a short survey. And so I'm not sure if everybody's aware of this already. And if not, I would try to get some more information for you, but right now that's all I have. But I think it's a great idea.
Okay, thank you, Malachi.
And also, one more thing.
Sure.
Sorry, go out there. I believe Tiffany actually addressed this on her social media page, but young man, entrepreneur, who he has a little dog walking business, and I see the massive amounts of dogs that emerged around here lately. And, he's a young male that's trying to, come up.
Malachi, I don't think we can really be endorsing businesses.
All right. Thank you, Tom. I didn't know, but all right, just got it out there. But it's called Matthew Empire Dog Walkers. But go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Moving right along. Any other council members? Yes, Dominic.
Yes, thank you. Is there any way that I know, because I went to the website to prepare for the meetings, I think 2:30, 3:30 for the resolutions. Is there any way to put something in place for a deadline for resolutions, unless it's an emergency, to at least have it, by noon, the day before the informal, and, day before the formal, by noon that day before, and by noon the day of the informal, since we're not voting on it, just because, I want to be prepared, but some of these things pop up, right. And I don't think it's fair to us on the council and the public. I think we should have a deadline put into place, and that's, again, unless it's an emergency, but I think we should have a standard moving forward.
I agree with you.
I agree too.
So how can we make it happen if you agree? Put a resolution in place?
Let me just offer. I mean, I can certainly try and get my stuff in earlier, but I know for certainly this month, we got about 4 or 5 requests in this morning on contract stuff for the city.
Right.
And it really was a lot of these were to facilitate, being able to sign these contracts and facilitate the work. I think the point is the reason you have it for the informal now is it's up there and you've got the week to review it. There's going to be a couple more that are going to be coming in for next week, and we'll get them up as soon as we can. But, we'll try and get them out quicker.
Well, this isn't anything on you, Jeff, because I know.
Oh, it can be, believe me.
It is.
but to be fair on you, sometimes you get it the last minute and expectations, for you to have it for the meeting. I'm just saying, overall, can we try to...
You're right, Dominic. We're always trying to expedite it, as soon as possible, but so many things just kind of coalesce at the end, but I agree with you. People should be able to read them earlier in the day, at least before a meeting. But again, as Jeff said, informal resolutions, you have a whole week to, think about them. And the ones before the formal, I would like to see them all online by Friday. So that gives you at least the weekend to go over them.
Sure. I mean, thinking about them too is great, but, we have questions the day of some of these resolutions. Mm-hmm. And then we're thinking about it, and then we're asking questions during the formal when something might have to be changed. So just a thought. Thank you.
Yep. Anybody else from the council?
Hey, Tom.
Yes. Yes, Duane.
Are you going to have meeting in the city hall or are you going to do?
Well, this came up actually at the tourism board meeting, and as one tourism board member mentioned, we're trying, the entire country more or less, is trying to figure out how to incorporate the best of Zoom and the best of in-person meetings. And we're going to try to do that too. I hope to meet with Shaheem. He doesn't know this yet. He's finding out right now. But to figure out a means for, you know, doing a blend of both ways of meeting. So the answer is, I hope to get something in the works pretty soon. But as you know, City Hall is pretty small, so I'm not sure. Oh, Shaheem just gave me the thumbs up. That's a good sign. So we will figure out something, I hope. But, you know, we can't jam yet, I don't think, everybody into City Hall. And besides, we, you know, there are some good aspects to this Zoom that we would like to preserve. So I think that's a roundabout answer to your question. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But Tom, yes. Can we have an alternate location? Like, I mean, the school board has the school.
Yeah, so I mean, I understand that, Dominic, but do you know what a hassle it is to move every meeting to a different location?
Not a different. I'm saying like we had at the library before.
Yeah, and that was a huge pain in the butt. And, I mean, if you're volunteering to set it up each time, I'd be happy to do it. I'm listening.
I'm just throwing ideas.
I know you're throwing ideas, and I'm throwing it back at you.
Deflect. Yeah, deflect. Well, you're in charge of the meetings, dude.
No, so I know.
That's why you were elected.
You did a good job last time.
I thank you, but, you know, it's possible.
I would say you're getting paid for it, but you gave it back, so I can't even say that.
Yeah, no, I was not getting paid to move furniture. Trust me. Yeah. In any case, that'll be, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll try to figure out, and the sooner, as soon as I know, I'll get back to you all and let you know. Any other questions from council members? And now, oh, nope. I thought Eileen, was that a question? No.
No.
Okay, and now the public. We've only gone 2 hours, so here we go. It is Nick Pirro. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Tom. Hey, just to touch on some comments from earlier in the meeting with the bike path and being clean and stuff like that. My wife runs the bike path regularly out of the city, around the city, and she is very pleased with the upkeep of it and how clean the whole bike path has been, including Third Street. So PBW has been doing a great job keeping up on that, and she just wanted me to pass that along to everybody. It's a
bike road. And is Jace agreeing with you? Is that it?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Okay. And we have a question from Bill.
It's really a comment. How disappointed I am to see that Rob Perry is okay with wasting electricity.
Oh, Jesus.
And
sorry.
That the city.
Sorry, excuse me.
And that nobody in City Hall seems to find that this is just unacceptable. And, you know, we have a problem here. It's called climate change. We just can't keep wasting electricity, okay? Just because Rob Perry thinks that it's okay to have the lights on during a gray day when they absolutely do not need to be on is just absurd.
Okay.
And my guess is that if the city had a city manager, this would have stopped long ago. P.S., the 3rd Street 9G has not been swept for months. It is not in good shape. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Rebecca.
Thanks. Yeah, Bill, I just want to say, as usual, I really, you know, share your basic perception of the situation. I think that it's, you know, truly a difficult situation to know how to address things at the city level that, you know, clearly are part of the massive tragedy that we're facing as a planet. And if anybody wants to read an article in the Washington Post that I just read today about how essentially, like, you know, humans appear to be too stupid to actually save themselves. you know, I'm totally with you on that. And I think it is pretty embarrassing that we can't handle a reduction in some electricity waste usage. So I'm with you.
Okay. Anyone else?
Motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second?
Do on.
All in favor of adjournment, please signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
Aye.
No opposition. Therefore, the motion carries, and we are done. Thank you all, and good night.
Night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you.
No, ma'am.